Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect this afternoon. John Jones, the president and CEO of LifeQuest in Albuquerque. What a great ministry they have. Welcome, John, to ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
Well, I think last time we didn't have as much time as we're going to have today. You're going to be with us the whole show today. So tell us, John, about LifeQuest and the work that you're doing. You have what I'm going to call a life, a long-suffering ministry. and you have to love people through a lot of difficult things, don't you?
There's no question. LifeQuest is a ministry to incarcerated and at-risk youth. And I've been here a little over 7 years now, moved from Chicago, the Chicago area, almost 7.5 years ago now, to become the first full-time director. In fact, Justin Marbury from Calvary served as the acting director before I came here. And I have to tell you, I had zero expectations. I mean, I've worked with hurting kids for a long time, hurting adults, hurting people. And I've got to tell you, when I got here, our kids are a mess. Not just our incarcerated kids, but kids in general. I love the term at-risk youth, because my question is always, tell me what youth is not at risk today in the world they're growing up in the culture they're growing up in. I believe every youth is at risk in New Mexico.
And John, you're absolutely right. When we talk about at-risk youth, you're of course talking about addictions, which come in a million forms.
Absolutely.
I mean, drug addictions, we're going to talk about that today.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some personal experience that I'm hoping you'll share.
Way too much.
And having expertise in an area that is sin is really interesting, isn't it? I mean, but you know, the fascinating thing is, and I want anybody that's caught up in anything to understand this. If you're caught up in anything today and you can get anything out of this show, what you're going to find out is that God will use whatever your weaknesses are to help other people.
I was told that very early on in my recovery. Said, if you will give it to him, that's the key. But if you will give it to him to use, God will use everything from your past, the most hideous, heinous things that you swore you'd never talk about in your life, that he will use all of those to serve other people. And that's certainly been my experience. I can't tell you how many times I've sat across the table having a cup of coffee with someone, and they say, you don't understand. You just don't know what I've done. You don't understand where I've been. And I said, well, tell me a little bit about it. And I'll kind of smile and go, okay, let me tell you a story. But I've always thought, let's go back to Scripture. When Jesus tells Peter he's going to deny him, and, oh, not me, Lord, I'd never do that. And he said, Peter, Satan's demanded to have you, that you be sifted like wheat, but I prayed for you that your strength may not fail. And when you turn again, strengthen your brethren. And I always got this picture in my head of Peter sitting around a campfire, sharing the gospel, and somebody saying, oh, I've done too many horrible things. I could never be forgiven. I could never be accepted. And Peter's smiling and saying, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. Because isn't that exactly what we do? We've all got a story, every single one of us. And that's what we train our volunteers in working with the kids. Be quick to share your own testimony. If you ask the kids we work with, what do you think it means to be a Christian? 80 to 90% are going to say, oh, that means you're good.
Yeah, or you're following a set of rules.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they believe it is. You're good. You're not stealing. You're not doing drugs. You're not breaking the law. And I always just kind of laugh and say, you know, no one is good. Nobody. And none of us, and all of us need the grace of God. All of us need the cross. That's reality. So that's an important message for our kids to hear, that they're not too far gone, that they're not too far away. Because we're not talking about working with kids that have been locked up for shoplifting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about kids with serious crimes on their resumes. And if we don't get to them now, we as taxpayers are going to be paying for that young person for years and years and years and years to come. But put that aside, more importantly, they're going to spend eternity in hell. That's and I don't wish that for my worst enemy.
Yeah.
And so of everything we do, and we do a lot of different things. We do GED tutoring. We do recovery groups. We do character development groups. We do a lot of events. But everything we do is in the hope of a mentoring relationship being established between one of our volunteers or staff and one of these young people. That doesn't just happen within the facility, but happens once they get out.
So when someone is incarcerated, John,
mm-hmm.
and we have close to 2,000 young people that are incarcerated in New Mexico?
Not incarcerated, in the system.
Oh, in the system.
The,
okay.
The actual incarceration number has dropped dramatically just in the time I've been here, especially now. Because they're trying to release kids as fast as they possibly can because of the COVID epidemic.
So yourself and the other volunteers you have, and we're going to talk about the training and mm-hmm. how people can volunteer and how people can support the ministry. And you're going to share some victory stories, some good things
Absolutely.
About things happening. I want to remind our listeners that John Jones, he is the CEO of LifeQuest Ministries. They work with incarcerated youth. Before we started today, John, you used a term, and always write down terms. These are not necessarily good terms, but you said there is generational incarceration that's probably higher than anywhere you've seen it in the state of New Mexico.
That is one of the things when we train our volunteers, we tell them, look, you have to understand for the a big percentage of the kids we work with, being locked up is not scary. It's not a deterrent to them. Because so many have been going to jails and prisons since they were young, visiting mom or dad or aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa. That's just their normal. And that's part of the thing. It's the same principle as in addiction. Addiction happens when you feel more normal when you're using your drug or your drink than when you're not. And that's the situation with our kids, is that this is normal to them.
You are right now working with yourself and other volunteers in 8 different juvenile facilities. What do they call them? Jails?
Juvenile detention centers.
Detention centers. And that's throughout the state.
That's correct.
And you do Bible studies with them. You tutor them to get their high school diplomas, their GEDs. What's a character development class?
I describe it as teaching God's principles without giving the author the credit. We understand very clearly, we do secular programming and we do religious programming. And we understand the difference between the two, and we respect the rules that are set for us in the facilities. So when we do GED tutoring, we're not sharing the gospel. We're helping a kid get their degree. When we're doing character development, we're talking about, though they may be biblical principles, we don't reference them as biblical principles. Now, in our Bible studies, in our mentoring, we're free to share, and we're even free to share in the other ones if a young person asks. But we were talking a little bit before, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the only hope for the kids we work with. I believe Jesus is the only hope for everyone, but certainly the young men and young women we work with, they require a massive heart change. It's just they need that regeneration of the Holy Spirit to see those changes happen in their life.
John, you said something earlier I want to play off of, and mm-hmm. that is that through this generational or even multi-generational incarceration, they're used to being in prison.
Absolutely.
And they see themselves as maybe even belonging there. I mean, but they can't like it because it's not fun being incarcerated. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more healthy being out, at least if they saw themselves the way God sees them. And that was going to be my point, is it sounds like these young people don't see themselves as valuable.
That's a good description. Perfect timing for this question. I have a young man I'm mentoring that 17 years old. His dad taught him to shoot heroin when he was 12. So, that's one of those kids that never stood a chance. But I happened to see on his Facebook site last night On his profile pic, he showed a Glock and some ammunition. And I shot him a text and said, "What is that?" And he said, "It's just a picture." And I said, "No, it's not." I said, "You have to decide who you want to be. And if you want to be a thug, go all in, be a thug. You can't be a Christian part-time and a thug part-time. Mm-hmm. You've got to decide what you want to be, and that's your decision. I'm not your parent. I'm not going to tell you to take it down. I'm not going to tell you to change it. I'm just going to tell you to decide who you want to be, because the truth is, who you see yourself as means everything. Your identity is everything. I mean, we all play a lot of roles, but if you ask me, you know, who are you? I am a grandfather. I am a father. I am a friend. I am a recovering addict. I have a lot of different roles. But first and foremost, I'm a follower of Christ. That's my identity. And trying to teach a young person that you've got to, you can't play, your identity can't be thug and Christian. Mm. And I was pleased to see when I got up this morning, he had sent me a text and said, "I changed the picture." And I'm like, good for you.
You know, John, I know some people that have grown up without Christ, grown up in families. A couple of friends of mine that I played basketball with, mm-hmm, over the years,
sure,
ended up being incarcerated. But more often than not, people that I thought were going to be incarcerated,
mm-hmm,
came to faith in Christ.
Absolutely.
And they have personalities that I'm going to call, they are fearless, and they have amazing courage to do things that they shouldn't do. And when they meet Christ, those gifts or that fearless attitude to life makes them the most unbelievable mentors and caring for people when they realize God has a role for them in other people's lives. That courage and that maybe misused application of no fear really does a lot. And so I want people, I'm told, that both in Los Lunas and in Santa Fe, there are people that listen to this station.
Great.
And if you are listening, let me just say this to you blatantly. You may have done terrible things. The consequences may be that you don't get to leave prison for some reason, but God still can use you. And if you have a shot at your behavior changing and living outside of prison, God will use you in miraculous ways if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's true.
Absolutely. Some of the greatest evangelists are sitting in prison right now. Their life has been changed dramatically. They've experienced that regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And they may be there the rest of their lives. But all of a sudden, their life has meaning and it has purpose. And so, you know, the reality of my own life, Jim, we talked a little bit about it. If I had gotten what I deserved, okay, I would be in the 26th year of a 30-year prison term. That would have been justice. I deserved that. I was caught dead to rights. I was already on probation. I'd been convicted of 3 counts of grand theft, which the judge stipulated those sentences not run concurrently. And the police lab messed up and the judge threw the case out.
John, I want you to continue that story. We're going to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors. We do really appreciate them bringing guys like John Jones on the air so people can be encouraged in their faith. Stay with us. More with John Jones. He is the CEO of LifeQuest Ministries. We'll be right back.
The future of car buying is here at PetriePressGo.com. From fingertips to driveway, PetriePressGo.com is the easy and safe way to buy or lease from the comfort of home. Browse thousands of new and pre-owned vehicles. Click. View pricing, instant trade-in offers, real-time loan approvals, and more. Buy, completely online without ever visiting our dealership. At your pace, from home, with doorstep delivery. Get started now at PetriePressGo.com.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. The CEO and president of LifeQuest is in studio with me, John Jones. John, we really appreciate it. You just had started to tell us a little bit about your personal testimony, and I'm going to have you restate a couple of those things because you were talking about what you deserve. But before we do that, I have to complain that you didn't disclose you were a Chicago Bears fan or a Chicago Cubs fan before coming on the show. And I'm not sure if we could have let you in the door.
It's like the gospel, Jim. It's you desperately need hope. And if you're a Bears and a Cubs fan, you desperately need hope. So there you go.
So I tease people all of the time by telling them, one, real sports are played in a gym. Of course, basketball is the most favorable.
Of course.
Daughters would say volleyball. But, you know, then I reason, hey, it's 72 degrees, no wind, no rain. What are we, you know, complaining? Especially Chicago Bears fans. I mean, you guys like to roll in the mud.
Those are real fans that will sit in 10 below zero wind chill.
Yeah.
For 2.5-3 hours to watch a football game.
Okay, now I have another word for those fans that are sitting up, but I won't say it here on the radio. John, you said something that was really impactful to me personally. You were talking about what you deserved.
Right.
And you deserve to be incarcerated.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about your life personally.
Sure. Grew up in the Midwest in what I considered to be a quote-unquote normal family. Mom, dad, older brother, younger sister, grew up in church, went off to, but church was much more cultural and social than it was spiritual for me. And, couldn't tell you how long after I went off to college before I set foot in a church again. Figured out at a young age, probably should mention this because I think it played a huge part later in my story. Went through an abortion with a girlfriend when I was 18. Now I didn't believe in abortions. They were wrong until it was me.
Until it was you.
Until it was my situation. And started drinking, doing drugs, not anything. I partied a lot, but never suffered any consequences. Moved to Phoenix when I got out of college. Got into commercial real estate, which was a really good place to be in Phoenix at that time. And by the time I was 29 years old, I was vice president of a real estate development company, managing and leasing 500,000 square feet of office space, had the six-figure salary, bonuses, commissions, nice cars, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll never forget this because I grew up in a family where you are what you earn. That's how you measure success, is how much money you're making. And, that particular year, I'll never forget, I got my tax statement and looked at it and went, yes, I'd achieved one of my goals. And felt an emptiness I didn't even know how to describe. I should be happy. I can go anywhere, do anything I want, anytime I want. And just, I find it to be a strange coincidence. About a month later, I was introduced to cocaine. Now, when I started doing cocaine, it wasn't really a street drug. It was the drug people, the rich and famous, were doing. It was the party drug. And the first time I did it, I was at a party in a multi-million-dollar home on the side of Camelback Mountain. And I tell people this all the time. I believe the first line of cocaine I did, I became addicted. Because the guilt, the shame, all that stuff I carried around inside of me went away for a few minutes. But then it wore off. And then I had to go get it back. And developed about a $300 a day habit right off the bat. I was a functioning addict, got up and went to work every day, did my job. But then after about 7 years, I burnt a hole in my sinus cavity, from doing so much cocaine. And every time I would snort a line, my nose would gush blood, the side of my face would swell up. And as crazy as it sounds, it was the first time I thought, maybe I've got a problem. Now, but even though I was snorting cocaine, I swore I'd never shoot it or smoke it because everybody I knew who'd done that had gone to the bottom. But I'm faced with a choice. I either stop or I go to the next step. And went over to a buddy's house. He showed me how to cook it up. I started smoking it. And what I describe as a slow downhill spiral became a straight shot to the bottom, because when you're snorting cocaine, you can only do so much before your sinuses swell. You can't do anymore. Once you start smoking it, you can smoke and smoke and smoke. And $300 a day became $500, $600, $800 a day, whatever. I just stopped going to work. Literally went from living in a beautiful home to becoming homeless in no time. And it didn't matter. All I cared about was getting high. Ended up in a drug treatment center after a number of months. That was where I was told I had a disease. And this was, they don't call themselves a Christian treatment center, but their teachings were very Christ-centered. They told me I not only had a physical disease, I had a spiritual disease, which I liked a lot. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to the 12-step rooms at that time. And would love to tell you that everything was wonderful after that. Ended up relapsing in October of 93. Went 9 months. The first time around, I lost everything. I'd lost the wife and the kids and the home and the car and the job and all those things. But that last 9 months I went out after relapsing, I lost something inside me. That's when I was already on probation from the state of Arizona. I'd been convicted of 3 counts of grand theft, and with a stipulation they not run concurrently. Got arrested up in Chicago on the south side, lovely area. Steve would know, 55 in Cicero, Steve. Got put in the precinct, got sent over to Cook County Jail, and they had me dead to rights. I was guilty. And when I went back up for court, the bottom line is the police lab messed up. They ended up throwing the case out, and I walked out free. That was in March of 94. I'd love to tell you once again that everything got wonderful, but I didn't get clean and sober until June of 94. So one thing I understand is people have to go where they have to go to reach that place of saying what we would call repentance, mm-hmm. of saying, I want to change. And it was a wonderful thing for me to learn that words like repentance simply meant turn and go the other direction. Putting it in a language that I understood, that sin simply comes from a Greek archery term, meaning missing the mark, missing the bullseye, which meant a lot to me because that would imply that the bullseye is the way of life God has designed for us. And anything outside of that is sin. And it might be massive and it might be tiny, but it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. But what I loved is that there was a mark. I just had this conversation with a young man the other day. I said, why do you think God doesn't want you to sin? He said, because it's bad and he gets mad at me if I do. And I said, that's not it. I said, it's because he loves you and sin hurts you. And he doesn't want to see you hurt yourself or hurt anybody else. God loves you. God can't do anything that's not loving. God is love, right? So anyway, so...
We should add,
yes,
that the reason God allows you to have choices
is because he loves you.
Exactly. and that's the thing that people don't understand. I mean, God could throw some lightning bolts at us right now.
Absolutely.
Right, we're sitting here, and we would all say, oh, wow, God, I believe in you. I'm going to trust you. But that wouldn't be love. We wouldn't be motivated by love. We'd be motivated by fear.
Forcing someone to do something is not love. That there is no love without choice. That's a fact. And Max Lucado wrote a great story about that. But after I went back and I finally tried June 9th, 1994, I tried OD. Hated myself, my life. I was so ashamed, so guilty of what I was doing. I tried OD and I couldn't even do that right. Called a guy who had tried to help me before and he said, John, you need to get back in into the 12-step room. So I went back in the next day, June 10th, 1994. And this is why mentoring means so much to me. A couple weeks later, I knew I was supposed to get a sponsor, someone who had been there, done that. And they tell you to look for someone who's got something you want. And there was this one guy, he just made me so mad just listening to him talk. But I somehow knew that's the guy I needed to go talk to. And I went and said, Barry, would you sponsor me? And he said, maybe. I said, what do you mean maybe? I thought you guys had the help of somebody else. He said, well, it's kind of my experience, John. You can't help someone who's not willing to be helped. So let me ask you three questions. First, do you want what I've got? That's all I can give you. And I thought about it. And it wasn't that this guy wasn't getting high anymore. This guy was happy. Mm. And I said, yeah, I want what you've got. And he said, okay. Are you willing to go to any length to get it? And I said, what's that mean? And he started to turn around and walk away. And he said, you're not ready yet. And I said, no, wait.
But John, in some ways, you went to any length to get drugs.
Oh, absolutely. Like. Absolutely. He said, you're not ready yet. And I said, no, wait, I'll do anything. He said, good. I'll remind you of that a number of times. And he did. He said, my last question is, are you willing to grow spiritually? And I said, Barry, I'm not even sure I believe in God anymore. And he said, I didn't ask you if you believed in God. I asked if you were willing to grow. And I said, yeah, I guess. He said, good. He said, when you go home tonight, I want you to go into the room, close the door, get on your knees by the side of your bed and pray. And I said, man, I just told you I don't even know if I believe in God and you're telling me to go pray. He said, that's okay. God knows who he is. Just pray. That's all I'm telling. I said, what am I supposed to say? He said, doesn't matter. Just talk to him. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Ask for help. And that, and I tell people all the time, because my first prayer went something like this. This seems really stupid. I'm not even sure I believe in you, but they told me I have to do this. So here I am. And if you're real, will you help me? That was my first prayer in recovery. And I tell people all the time, God loves an honest prayer. Just speak your heart to him. He'll listen. He hears you. But, experienced the first miracle in my life about 60 days after being in the rooms. God removed the desire, the obsession, healed it, cast out a demon. I don't know. People ask me all the time, what happened? And I'm like the blind guy. Look, all I can tell you, I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. And I thought I'd found the miracle I'd heard people talk about. But about 4 months later, I woke up and I didn't want to get high, but dying sounded like a really good idea. So I called my sponsor and said, I don't understand. And he said, well, John, we've got to keep moving forward and you've got to deepen your spiritual life. And I said, what's that look like? How does that work? Tell me. And again, something I've shared with a number of people, he said, John, you can't have my faith. You've got to get your own. And those words have never left me. I am responsible for my faith. Nobody else is. And about a couple of months later, out of sheer desperation, because I kept asking God to talk to me and I didn't hear from him. And one day I was getting dressed and I saw it in the corner of my closet, a Bible I was given when I was 12 years old, an old leather-bound Revised Standard Version. And I'd heard a guy a week before talk about God's Word, and I knew he was talking about the Bible. So I took that Bible, and I went and I sat down at my kitchen table, and I just said, God, I don't want to get smart. I don't want to get religious. I don't want to get theological. But if this is your word, would you talk to me, please? I just need to hear from you. And I opened it up, and the first thing I read said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And Jim, I cried like a baby. I just broke down and sobbed at my table because I was sure for the first time in my life, I had just heard from God. And for the next 18 months, I spent 2 to 3 hours every morning doing that. And I tell people this all the time. Look, it wasn't like I got smart and figured out how to do things. I changed inside. As my job is to seek God. He'll make the changes. He'll do the other things. And so having a good sponsor, a good mentor in my life walking beside me, seeking God daily, my life changed. And then God, in his infinite sense of humor, called me into full-time ministry 2 years later.
John Jones is the president and CEO of LifeQuest. They work with incarcerated youth, typically kids 14 to 21.
Yeah.
And amazing, amazing story, John, that you've shared with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about the ministry specifics, how our listeners can come alongside you, and really hoping that you'll share some victory stories with some of the people you work with. We'll be back with John Jones. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at QualityMattersHere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community.
Quality, experience, personal service. Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
EJ and I, we had two properties, and the mortgages were killing us, so we were looking for a realtor that was a believer.
Had great references and had a great selling history.
Our pastor referred us to Dom Garcia. We prayed to God that we would not only sell the property, but sell it quickly.
And in 2 weeks, the house was sold. Dom gave us great ideas on how to prepare the properties for selling.
When we signed the listing agreement, we prayed over it with Dom.
Selling experience was just marvelous.
Dom stepped in and got it done.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644. 899-4644.
Se habla español.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of the other guys, old school, hokey games, and cheesy sales tactics, then come experience something new school at Power Ford. Our approach is simple. We make it all about you. Every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. And we also guarantee that we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
John Jones, president and CEO of LifeQuest. They work with incarcerated youth and youth that get out of being incarcerated. They follow them and mentor them and take care of them. And John, I'm hoping here in this segment we can talk a little bit about what your ministry looks like, how you get acquainted with individuals and how you work with them daily.
Sure. It's different right now because we're not allowed to go in the facilities. Since mid-March, the facilities have been completely shut down. Understandably so. I get why that's happening. What was happening before was when we went into the facilities, whether it was to do Bible study or character development or GED tutoring or one of our events that we held, we would just talk with the kids, get to know them, let them get to know us, and let them know that mentoring was available, that they could have someone come in and meet with them weekly and chat one-on-one, and that would be there for them when they got out. So that, I think we right now have about 18 active mentoring relationships going on. That number's been as high as 40. And it's tougher to build those relationships right now, obviously not being there. But we send cards and just encouraging cards and letters and Bible studies into the facilities every week, just something to encourage the kids while in. Because you can imagine with no programming, it's just the staff and the kids right now. That's hard. That's hard on the kids, and it's hard on the staff. We've sent pizza in. We had volunteers bake goodies to send in for the staff just to encourage them. And I can't tell you how often we get the opportunity to minister to staff in the juvenile facilities. It's a rough job. It really is. It's a very difficult job. So, but the goal is, as I said, is to come alongside of a young man or young woman, walk with them, love on them, keep pointing them to Jesus, and to follow them out. And that's why you and I talked a little bit about, you know, when it's defined success. That's a interesting thing to do in our ministry. We are very much a seed planting ministry. We understand that. Occasionally we get to see fruit. But the bottom line is, and the timing is so good for this. One of our staff people, Cleo, mentors a young lady at the Girls Reintegration Center, and that girl just prayed to receive Christ this morning to follow Jesus. And to me, those are the greatest moments in our ministry. I mean, that's, and to understand that's not the end of the journey. That's the beginning of a journey. You have a new life. You're an infant in Christ. But the great news is Cleo will continue to walk alongside her as long as she wants her to. I still talk to, I've had the same mentor for over 20 years now. And I encourage anyone who wants to be a mentor to have a mentor. We all need someone in our lives that we're so close to our own lives, I don't care how spiritual you are, that you can't see yourself well sometimes. And when you're in the midst of emotional circumstances, just to be able to pick up the phone and call and talk to somebody. When Jesus says you shall know the truth and the truth sets you free, we're so afraid to tell the truth, Jim. We're so afraid to talk to each other and talk honestly. And people have asked me, why do you have the mentor that you have? And I said, because I know I could tell this guy anything. And he might give me a swift kick in the tail, but he's going to give me a hug. He's going to tell me he loves me, and he's going to tell me to go out and fight the good fight for another day. And I've got to tell you, he's 88 years old now. He's not in the best of health, and that will be difficult when I lose him. But he has shown me what love is. He didn't tell me. He's shown me, and he's always been there for me. And even though he's back in Iowa, we still talk regularly. And he's a man of great wisdom because he's a man whose life was a mess, and he had to turn his life around. So mentoring isn't, whether you call it mentoring, discipling, sponsoring, whatever name you want to use for it, it's as simple as coming alongside of someone, walking with them, loving them. Here's the hard reality that we have to face is I can't change anyone. I can't. I'm not God. I can love them. I can encourage them. I can point them to the one who can make those changes. But I don't get to change anybody. And I think my first 7 years here, we've lost 20 kids in our ministry that have died. Murder, suicide, drug overdose, etc. Guys I've worked with in 12-step programs, I've lost 6 guys I've worked with over the years. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. But does that mean we stop? No, that just means that we get up and we understand that we're not God and we don't change people. But I will tell you this, and we end all of our training with this. The verse, I'm really bad with addresses in the Bible, but Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we tell our volunteers, look, we can train you to the nth degree, but if you're not seeking God daily, if you're not connected to the vine, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can train you that's going to have the impact that if you do nothing else but seek God, mm-hmm. you're going to have a great impact in these kids' lives, we promise you.
You know, I just had a conversation with a young man that works for the church staff at Calvary Albuquerque and Calvary Church, and he works in our maintenance department. And if you come on the campus at Calvary, and a lot of other churches have beautiful campuses too, so I don't want to detract from any of that, but I've had a lot of people come on and play in the Frisbee Park,
mm-hmm.
and I run across them when I'm taking a walk at lunchtime or something like that, and they always come up because I have a little badge on that's my pass to get in the door. Otherwise, I'm locked out. And they'll say something to me like, wow, this place is really beautiful and it's amazing. So I shared with him, this young man that works here. I said, I just want you to know, I didn't know anything about his background, but I came up to him and I said, I want you to know that your work here is really appreciated by all of us. You are ministering to us. Mm. This is a beautiful campus because of you. And you may not realize it, but that's a ministry.
That's awesome.
And he just looked at me like, wow, I can't believe you just said that to me. And we've developed a friendship because he knows that I appreciate him. And I think of that story because it's the same thing that you're discussing. When you have young people that have been incarcerated and they come to faith, they all of a sudden realize, look, my background, what I've done up to this point, that's not what God doesn't care. God's going to use that for his glory. When people find out that he's helped me overcome these things, when they see him in my life, that's where the power is. And they can have a massive impact on people's lives as a result. John, I want to ask you about the training, because we have people that are listening now.
Mm-hmm.
And the first way I think our listeners could come alongside is people. You need mentors.
Yes, we do.
That are working in your ministry. So describe that process, how they get in touch with you, kind of what the training is.
Easiest way is just contact us either through our website, which is www.lifequestusa.org, or you can just call us at the office, which is 505-341-9383. And what we'll do is set a time for myself or one of our staff to meet with the potential volunteer, and we'll outline the different opportunities that are available. You know, some want to teach a Bible study, but they don't want a mentor. Some want to mentor, but they don't want to teach a Bible study. Some want to do GED tutoring. Your listeners, trust me, God will use you. There's not a place we can't use you in this ministry. Everyone who's a follower of Christ has a gift of encouragement. They have the ability to encourage others. It's not a hard thing.
Hey, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I'm just thinking as you're talking, I'm thinking, what ministries do I know of in this town that are training young Bible teachers and things? Well, I guarantee you Steve Smotherman's doing that at Legacy, and Daniel McCabe. Those guys at Legacy are training a lot of young people. You could use those people to teach Bible studies.
Absolutely.
In the prison system. I'm thinking about Dustin over at, you know, the pastor at Citizen Church. I always want to say Copper Point, but they changed it to Citizen. And I obviously there's people at Calvary Church that are being discipled and taught. And I want to emphasize, this is men and women that you need.
Yes, absolutely.
When you're incarcerated, the men and women are separate, right?
Yes.
So what is a typical day for somebody that's incarcerated? What does that look like?
Well, on a typical day, pre-COVID would have been get up. Most are going to school.
Is that forced or coerced, or they just do that?
You will go to school if you're not already graduated from high school, which okay. Most aren't. So you're either doing GED. I mentor a young man that's taking college courses online right now. But you'll go to school. You'll have then activities. There's a number of things, sports. They have an honor guard team that we actually had come out and present at our golf tournament last year. They have training in welding and electrical and carpentry, and you know, they just, these young people, they're giving them the opportunity to learn a different life and to learn skills that they can use when they get out.
But you believe, as I do, that they need to be released from the sin in their lives. And you can't do that by learning new things, right?
No, absolutely. It's we are, you and I talked about before, that we are in the midst of what we call our freedom unbanquet. We did banquets for years, but obviously banquets aren't happening right now. So, and we launched it on the 4th of July. And the reason was that I think we as Americans are learning to appreciate our freedoms a little more right now than we ever have before. So there is that, but that's nothing compared to what comes in the freedom in Christ. That being set free, whether it's from your addiction, whether it's just sin in general, whether it's from incredibly broken relationships, whatever it might be, that's what, in working with young people, obviously we want to see them free. But one of the things I referenced was the fact that being locked up in my addiction was far worse than being behind bars. There is a far worse imprisonment than being locked up physically. And to be set free from that, I don't have words to describe it. It's amazing. So if people will, and the Freedom Unbanked, obviously, being a 501c3 nonprofit, we are dependent upon giving for our existence. As you can imagine, giving is down right now, substantially. And I understand it. I understand why. But we've been really blessed. We had a donor that stepped up and was willing to do a matching gift for this unbanquet of $10,000. Mm. So if someone can donate $5, it becomes $10, $20 becomes $40, $100 becomes $200, et cetera. So if any of your listeners are, and we certainly, we're not looking to take money away from anything, but I very much believe that people are blessed by their giving. And if you would like to partner with us, you can certainly, again, just go to the website at lifequestusa.org and you can make a gift online right there, or we can tell you how to make that gift. So,
John Jones, he is the president and CEO of LifeQuest. They have a ministry and help incarcerated youth ages 14 through 21. And they continue to mentor and continue to love on these kids, of course, with their permission and their willingness.
Absolutely.
Even after they're out of incarceration. And we hope that that's the result of what this ministry is having. John's going to spend another segment with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof, gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you to our producer, Steve Ryman, for doing such a good job of keeping us on the air today. We cannot do this without him and some of our other staff. Abby Williams also doing a good job for us. She helps us with all our social media stuff. And if you didn't get a chance to hear this entire interview with John Jones. He's the CEO and president of LifeQuest. You can listen to this entire broadcast on our podcast site at abqconnect.online, or you can go to Facebook/abqconnect. It takes us a couple hours to get everything back loaded up to the web. But John, this interview available to you and other people. And I know a lot of people like to download the audio and use it on their websites and other kinds of things. John, you were just mentioning the Freedom Unbanquet, which is available on your website, and people can make donations and things. Of course, correct. COVID has created a situation where you can't have mass gatherings, and we'll all hope that this I don't think it's going to end, but I think that we're going to learn how to live with it and be even more productive. There's a lot of things that are silver linings. Of course, my heart goes out to families that are still struggling with the illness, and I think you mentioned that you've had the same experience in your family.
Sure. My sister and my brother-in-law both had COVID, and both are doing well now. So we continue to pray for that and pray for all families that are struggling with this.
You bet. I want to talk a little bit about your golf outing that you have. It's a golf tournament that raises money on an annual basis, and you've had to reschedule that as a result of COVID.
Correct. We were originally scheduled for June 1st, and this tournament's just been amazing. This is our seventh year. We've become one of the largest golf tournaments in Albuquerque. We had 192 golfers last year. We'll be at the Canyon Club on October 12th, and it's just a great day and a great way to support LifeQuest. We have kids from the reintegration centers come out and volunteer at that tournament, so you'll get to meet some of the young people we work with, which is always a good thing, because when we get a new volunteer, when they go in, I can't tell you how many times I hear this comment. Wow, they're just regular kids. Mm. And they are, because we all get these preconceived notions when, oh, a kid's locked up. No, they're just regular kids that have been in rough circumstances. That's all. So we've got some kids out there. Our volunteers are out there. Our staff are out there. Our board is out there. But come out, have a great day, play golf, enjoy yourself, have a chance to win some great prizes. And you'll even get to meet some of the staff. We give a few teams to CYFD, that staff from the facilities come out and play. So it's just become a wonderful event and a great way to support our ministry. And I like to call it a friendraiser as opposed to a fundraiser. So.
I want to mention, you've mentioned a date of October 12th, but I'd want people to possibly be encouraged to sign up for the tournament now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that money could help you a lot right now.
Yes, it can. And plus, there's a very real possibility that the tournament will get filled this year. We hope that becomes a problem, but once people play, they tend to come back and play again. It's a fun day. We do great prizes. You get a beautiful golf shirt like the one I have on. And
that is a sharp shirt.
It looks
good. I'm
kind
of wondering why the radio host doesn't get a, you know, never, just kidding.
Do you golf, Jim?
Badly.
Well, you're perfect then. It's a scramble.
Hey,
so.
The golf police will arrest me if they are witness to my golf game.
It is, as I said, we were supposed to be June 1st, and obviously everything changed. So now we're scheduled for October 12th, and we're just taking it a day at a time as to what it's going to look like. We probably or may not, depending on where things are, be able to. Normally, we will provide lunch, dinner, but will we be able to gather together for a program? I don't know the answer to that one yet, obviously. So we're just taking it. The worst case scenario, we're going to have a fun day golfing and raising money for LifeQuest.
Well, and of course, the old, you know, cliche, you know, bad day of golf's better than a good day at work.
Absolutely.
Anytime, right?
Absolutely. And it is on a Monday. So that, you know, gosh, I have to go help these poor people.
Of course, my boss is listening to this radio program, so maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Well, bring your boss with you. Make it a foursome. Come on. That'd be great.
Yeah, I have a sense that I actually think Chip would probably be a pretty good golfer because he's like really, really athletic. But I know that walking on a golf course again, it's an outdoor sport. I mean, we got to get in a gym, John. Maybe we could have a basketball free throw shooting contest.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yes, because who wants fresh air and fellowship when you can be somewhere that's smelly and sweaty? And I agree with you, Jim.
You sound like my friends that enjoy running. And I'm going to say to you, John, the same thing I say to them. Running was always punishment.
I would agree. That's exactly how it was when I played football. Was, you guys, weak practice. Get on the line.
Get on the line. So I don't actually understand why anyone would run on purpose, but that's a whole different topic.
It is.
John, LifeQuest has been around. You mentioned that you've been running the ministry for several years here in Albuquerque. Kind of where do you want to go? You mentioned 8 facilities early in the program that you're in right now. You need a lot of volunteers. You need a lot of funding.
Oh, we do. And I think one of the things we launched this year for the first time, because it was one of those situations where it's like, okay, how do we get to kids before we have to beat them in juvenile detention? How do we reach kids? And so spent a few weeks just researching, looking around the country, and ended up finding a group out of California called Ambassadors of Compassion. Flew over and saw what they did. I went to a high school where they were doing their advanced life training, and it's been a while. Let me think. They were teaching on perseverance and forgiveness and labor and something else. A.C. Green did the introduction of
former Los Angeles Lakers fame. Yeah.
What they've done is they've gotten a ton of former and current professional athletes, movie stars, TV stars involved, and they do short video clips, teaching a life principle to the kids. But the cool part is then after the initial advanced life training, these small groups in classes continue on throughout the school year. It's almost a support group in high school and middle schools. And boy, if there was ever a group that needed support, it's high school and middle school kids. And so we actually launched this school year at Del Norte, obviously until March came around and stopped. And we can always hope and pray, but at least I doubt we'll be back in this school year. Because even the proposals I've seen where kids are physically in the school, no visitors will be allowed on campus. So, but I would love to see that program eventually not just established here in Albuquerque, but across the state. Again, because it's group mentoring. But when you're doing group mentoring, a lot of times that adult leading it will build that one-on-one relationship with young people. So I'd like to see that happen. I want to see us do more programming for kids before they get locked up. I think those what would be called at-risk kids, which maybe they've had contact with the juvenile justice system, but they're for whatever reason they haven't been seen fit to be incarcerated, so now they're on probation. How do we get to those kids?
How about a parent right now that maybe is sitting back going, boy, I haven't really done as good a job of parenting as I need to be my child may be one of these at-risk kids. How can I get your organization to help me?
Give us a call. We may or may not be able to help, but we'll certainly talk to anyone at any time. And if it's one of our staff people or volunteers, if the young person needs a mentor, because again, so many single parent situations out there. We can come out and help. Just give us a call, 505-341-9383. We'll talk with you.
John, give us the LifeQuest website one more time.
www.lifequestusa.org.
Great stories today, my friend. Looking forward to having you back here in a few weeks. Want to remind everybody that the Freedom Unbanquet is going on right now. And you can find out all about that on the LifeQuest website. That is lifequestusa.org. One more time, their phone number, 505-341-9383. John Jones, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim. Enjoyed it.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.